VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And if we've got a packed day of news and information today and a news roundup here on Crosstalk, thank you for joining us. And our thanks to Sandy for pulling together so many, many stories, different topics and issues. Yes, we'll be focusing on the election, the coronavirus, and many other issues as well. We hope you'll stay with us. We're going to start. There was an alarming story, column that was written yesterday on townhall.com by Beth Bowman, and generating some controversy from a number of sources, and just wanted to share it with you. It revolves around Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster, one of the nation's leading concert and event ticket sellers, on Monday announced their plans for fighting the Wuhan coronavirus. She writes, according to Billboard, the ticket company will require concert goers to provide proof that they have had a vaccine for the coronavirus or show proof that they've tested negative for the virus 24 to 72 hours before the event. The company would work with Clear Health Pass and IBM's Digital Health Pass so concert goers can share their private information. Ticketmaster also plans to partner with testing and vaccine providers like LabCorp and CVS MinuteClinic. If you plan to go to a concert in the foreseeable future, even most post-pandemic, here's what you'll likely encounter. Now, listen carefully. Now, this is being refuted, but I want you to hear what's come forth because there's been some backpedaling, we understand. But they said after purchasing a ticket for a concert, fans would need to verify that they have already been vaccinated, which would provide approximately 1 year of COVID-19 protection, or test negative for coronavirus approximately 24 to 40 or 72 hours prior to the concert. The length of coverage a test would provide would be governed by regional health authorities. If attendees on a Friday night concert had to be tested 48 hours in advance, most could start the testing process the day before the event. If it was 24 hours, most people would likely be tested the same day of the event at a lab or health clinic. Once a test was complete, the fan would instruct the lab to deliver the results to their health pass company like Clear or IBM. If they were negative or the fans were vaccinated, the health pass company would verify the attendee's COVID-19 status to Ticketmaster, which would then issue the fan the credentials needed to access the event. If a fan tested positive or didn't test, to verify their status, they would not be granted access to the event. There are still many details to work out, but the goal of the program is for fans to take care of vaccines and testing prior to the concert and not show up hoping to be tested on site. Well, the article goes on from that as well. The full outlay of this is at billboard.com. Billboard, of course, very much involved in the concert scene as well. And I find it very interesting now, the stories that are coming out here on this matter is that the BBC is reporting now today, or actually yesterday, that Ticketmaster has denied reports that fans would be required to prove that they've had a vaccine or negative COVID-19 test before attending concerts. The story arose from a report in Billboard magazine which said the company wanted to use smartphones to verify fans were free of the disease. While Ticketmaster is exploring such an idea, it said there would be absolutely no requirement for mandated vaccines. Well, the story said vaccines or you had to be tested within a certain number of hours. In a statement, Ticketmaster said, "We are not forcing anyone to do anything." While the original article highlighted that the plan was one of several options being considered, other news outlets reported it as concrete fact. The majority of fans welcome the move if it would mean the resumption of live music. "Inject me now," wrote one. "Honestly, I would do anything to go to a concert right now," added another. But the scheme was criticized by people who believe concert goers would be required to have vaccinations. However, Ticketmaster clarified in a statement to the BBC that it could not enforce any requirements on ticket holders. Ticketmaster does not have the power to set policies around safety entry requirements, which would include vaccines and/or testing protocols. It said, "That is up to the discretion of the event organizer. Ticketmaster continues to work with event organizers on all COVID safety measures, and it will be up to each event organizer to set future requirements based on their preferences and local health guidelines." It said the plan discussed in Billboard was one of many potential ideas it was exploring to enable the return of live music. So very interesting, because as things started going public with this through Billboard, they said, no, no, no. And evidently there's been some backlash in that regard. But now they admit it's one of the plans. Well, I'm not sure what the other plans are calling for, but it's something that we'll continue to monitor and observe as businesses will be clamping down even further in this regard. By the way, many are asking, what has ever happened to Fox News? Fox News has fallen to number three. This is from the Epoch Times. And fallen to number three in ratings is being bested by MSNBC and CNN in news coverage following Election Day, coming after the election was number one on election night. Fox News placed third on Saturday with 1.73 million viewers. CNN, the top spot with 4.2 million, and MSNBC, 3 million viewers, according to Nielsen data. The apparent rating decline could be due to how the network called the race on election night. Fox News was one of the first news outlets to call Arizona for Biden, despite hundreds of thousands of outstanding ballots still being counted. This is also interesting as well. Because of the quick assumption of being called president-elect from Mr. Biden, and the media have been very quick in that regard. But we're going to take you back to that first presidential debate, September 29th. We got Chris Wallace, and he is asking, this is right near the end of the debate, asking Vice President Joe Biden if he would wait until the election results were independently certified before he declared victory. Let's listen in to what he had to say.
Vice President Biden, final question for you. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted, and will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's not what's happening, though, is it? Newsmax.com reporting that Democrat Joe Biden is on the track to set a record for the most expensive presidential campaign in history, as well as one to spend the most per vote. I thought Republicans were the big money party. The Biden campaign raised more than $1.3 billion, amounting to almost $18 per vote. OpenSecrets.org, a campaign finance website, detailed that the Biden campaign spent more than 80% of the funds raised for media services, particularly television advertising. Very interesting story about, all of a sudden these vote counts stopped, like in Georgia, where they halted counting, and they talked about this water main break. Well, there was some open record requests that were handed to the necessary departments, and found that there were no invoices, no work orders reported on Election Day. And now it's being said that the reports were highly exaggerated. It was just a slow leak, and it was contained quickly. On election night in Georgia, President Trump was running away with the presidential election. Then suddenly it was reported that vote counting had stopped in Fulton County due to a water main break in Atlanta. According to CBS WVLT8, nearly 40,000 absentee ballots will not be counted for the state of Georgia until at least Wednesday after a water main break, said Fulton County officials. Well, in response, there was public records requests generated as a result of the alleged burst pipe that halted this counting on ballots in Atlanta. That's in Fulton County, where a few text messages. That's all that they could find, a few text messages. These messages were the senior vice president of the Atlanta Hawks, Jeffrey Stiles, who called it a slow leak that was contained quickly. And he said the entire thing was highly exaggerated. No repair orders, no work orders or invoices from a plumber associated with the burst pipe were provided. Nothing. Similar request with the Fulton County Board of Registrations and Elections, but that resulted in no records being located per their response. And so, ladies and gentlemen, and Pamela Geller has the story in her site, but the question is being asked, what really happened on election night in Atlanta? And what was the real reason they stopped counting tens of thousands of absentee votes until the next day? I don't have an answer. Somebody knows what's going on there. Also, as we go focus on Georgia even further, there is a statement that came out from a Georgia election official saying we're going to find that people did illegally vote. I want you to listen in to what the election official had to say.
A lot of people who believe in that system now. And what I don't like is people out there trying to undermine this system that was put together so hard by the secretary's office and those county elections directors. Now, let me be perfectly clear on another point. We are going to find that people did illegally vote. That's going to happen. There are going to be double voters. There are going to be people who did not have the qualifications of a registered voter to vote in this state. That will be found. Is it 10,353? Unlikely. But every election, as I've said, I think every day at this podium, is imperfect. The issue now is, with margins, we are the winner for the closest in the country at 0.2%. When the margins are this tight, every little thing matters. So this office will thoroughly investigate, and we will work to find ways. We know the system counted properly. We know the ballots that were there were counted properly and correctly. We know that. We're going to have an audit to prove it, and it looks like more than likely the president will ask for a recount to reaffirm that. But on the front end, we need to make sure that the absentee ballot process is as tight as it can be so we can stop illegal voting and prevent double voting now and in the future.
Yeah, that's out of the state of Georgia. Newsmax.com reporting election officials in Georgia's 159 counters have begun this hand tally of the presidential race. The law requires that one race be audited by hand to check that the machines counted the ballots accurately, not because of any suspected problems with the results. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger chose to audit the presidential race and said that because of the tight margin. And right now, Joe Biden leads Donald Trump by 14,000 votes, means a full hand count is necessary. That requirement to begin counting was at 9 a.m. this morning. But making sure that the machines counted accurately, and some are saying, no, it's not to see if the machines counted accurately. We got to go further than that. We have to look at the actual votes themselves. The press release came out today from Americans for Limited Government, Rick Manning, and he said Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is doing a tremendous disservice to the people of Georgia by conducting what could only be described as a fraudit, which fails to provide a complete examination of the election system, the voter rolls, and the eligibility of those who voted. There is no excuse for a less than thorough audit, and the state legislature needs to take this responsibility out of the Secretary of State's hands, who apparently is more interested in rubber stamping the process than ensuring the integrity of the process. Governor Brian Kemp and the Georgia State Legislature need to step up to the plate and conduct their own independent audit, as the Raffensperger effort is clearly nothing more than a fraudit designed to give the appearance of review without engaging in the real substance of that review. He closed off his statement saying the eyes of the nation are on Georgia. It is important that the state get the vote counting right. Also, we have from Western Journal, a major new allegation of voter fraud been raised in Michigan, where a lawsuit filed by the Great Lakes Justice Center on behalf of two poll challengers says multiple levels of improper conduct took place on orders from election officials. Allegations are aimed at officials from Detroit and Wayne County. Affidavits were issued. People who witnessed this lawsuit was filed by two poll challengers, finding numerous issues of fraud and misconduct, seeking a temporary restraining order that would prohibit officials from certifying the vote until charges made in the lawsuit can be investigated. They talk about systematically processing and counting ballots from voters whose name failed to appear in the qualified voter file or in the supplemental sheets. When a voter's name could not be found, the election person assigned the ballot to a random name already in the system to a person who had not voted, the complaint reads. And further, defendants instructed election workers to not to verify signatures on absentee ballots, to backdate absentee ballots, and to process such ballots regardless of their validity. We'll be back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, comets pose a very difficult problem for long-age evolution. Many of these comets are short-lived. They last only a few trips around the sun, but yet our solar system is full of comets. Therefore, it can't be very old. Evolutionists have proposed a hypothetical source of comets called the Kuiper Belt. Photographs from the Hubble telescope seem to support the claim. Unfortunately, recent studies of these same photos declare that the Kuiper Belt has not been found. There is no source of comets which would keep our solar system supplied with them. The Bible says that the entire universe was created in creation week, along with everything else. It's not billions of years old, and the evidence that we see supports this. Everything goes back to Genesis, and so it should.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
It's a News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and sharing some of the things from Michigan going on as far as these affidavits that were filed and this lawsuit filed. As a matter of fact, the complaint, one other aspect I'll bring up here, they allege that some ballots arrived in vehicles with out-of-state license plates and that it was observed that all of these new ballots were cast for Joe Biden. That's a direct quote from them. Let's also go to the Gateway Pundit in Las Vegas on Sunday night, during a press briefing. Trump campaign member Matt Schlapp told the crowd that the Trump team had a witness who saw a Biden-Harris van unload and repackage ballots. Very interesting indeed. Then we go to WesternJournal.com. Puerto Rico. Their election commission said Tuesday of this week it discovered more than 100 briefcases containing uncounted ballots a week after the U.S. territory held its general election, drawing criticism and scorn from voters who now question the validity of the outcomes of certain races there. But, did you know this was the most secure election in American history? That is the statement being made. State and federal election officials, I'm looking right now at a story from Newsmax, along with experts in the private sector, said that they had utmost confidence in the security and integrity of the November 3rd vote as President Donald Trump continues to make claims of election fraud. They say, and here's a quote, "The November 3rd election was the most secure in American history." The official said in a statement Thursday, "There is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised," end of quote. The statement urged Americans to turn to election administrators and officials for accurate information. The statement was signed by officials from the Elections Infrastructure Government Coordinating Council that shares information among state, local, and federal officials and the Election Infrastructure Sector Coordinating Council, which includes election infrastructure owners and operators. You know, some things just do not pass the smell test, do they? Here, this is from Senator Richard Hildebrand out of the state of Kansas. And he says he's going to waste no time introducing an election fraud protection bill to the Kansas Senate over the 2021 session as that begins in January. Oh, here's an interesting headline. Schumer to Georgia, give us a Senate and we'll change the world. You see, all eyes are on Georgia now for this runoff election, and we got Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer promising to change the world if voters in the southern state give his party both of the Senate seats. The two Georgia runoffs are between incumbent Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler and Democratic challenger Raphael Warnock and incumbent Republican Senator David Perdue and Democrat John Ossoff. Schumer took to the streets in his home state of New York Saturday during a Biden-Harris victory rally to proclaim total domination was within reach. "Now we take Georgia, then we change the world," he declared. And the very next sentence, which he uttered after putting his mask on, Schumer then promised, "Now we take Georgia, then we change America." And indeed, Georgia would hold the key to a Senate race. Right now, there are 50 GOP votes and 48 for the Democratic Party. If the Democratic Party takes both of those votes, it will be 50-50 tie. And if Joe Biden is successful in his bid for the presidency, then Kamala Harris would have the tie-breaking vote. Neither of the parties had generated, none of the races, a 50% threshold of votes needed. And so it's triggering a runoff election for, yes, we're going to have to wait till January 5th. AOC says, "I'm doing everything to win Georgia for Democrats so we don't have to negotiate with Republicans." And also in a commentary on Western Journal, Randy DeSoto says that some Democrats and their media supporters are openly urging people to move to Georgia and commit fraud by voting in the Senate runoffs slated for January 5th. By the way, doing so, unless people intend to stay in Georgia after the elections, is a felony. A spokesman for the Georgia Secretary of State's office, which oversees voter registrations, declined to comment on how quickly someone could establish legal residency in Georgia, but cited state law that it's a felony to vote in Georgia elections if you're not a legal resident or if you're residing in the state briefly with the intention just to vote and then move away, the Wall Street Journal reported. While former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang did not indicate whether he would be voting, he tweeted that he and his wife were moving to Georgia to help Democratic Senate candidates John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. This is our only chance to clear Mitch out of the way and help Joe and Kamala get things done in the next 4 years. More details to come, but let's go. And we understand that indeed that the a number of Democratic Party prominents are seizing upon Georgia here as we speak as they head toward this runoff election coming up in early January. From the NewAmerican.com, President Trump Thursday tweeted out information from One America News Network claiming that Dominion, the voting system that experienced several glitches, and I put that in quotes, favorable to candidate Joe Biden, deleted 2.7 million votes for him, and in Pennsylvania switched 221,000 Trump votes to Biden, swinging this election. That's a tweet that went out from the president. OANN highlighted that fact that Dominion has ties to the Clinton Foundation. Penelope Chester Starr is Dominion's communications manager. Before assuming that role, well, she worked for the Clinton Growth Initiative. Dominion was used in at least 47 counties in Michigan, which President Trump had been projected to win. The president's legal team is pushing for a full audit in the counties in which the voting system was used. As we stated yesterday with Alex Newman on the program, this from The Blaze, Black Lives Matter, their leader is telling Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, we want something for our vote. Patrice Cullors has sent a letter to the Biden and Harris team after several media outlets declared them the winners, saying, we want something for our vote. It was signed by Cullors on behalf of the Black Lives Matter Global Network. We are requesting a meeting with you both to discuss the expectations that we have for your administration and the commitments that must be made to black people, Cullors said. Let's go to CNSNews.com. The number of new pro-life Republican women elected to the House of Representatives has climbed further and now stands at 16, along with 11 incumbent pro-life Republican women who won re-election last week. The victories thus far take to 27, the number of pro-life women in the House, a significant accomplishment for the Susan B. Anthony list that works to elect pro-life candidates. A diverse group, there's a Cuban Americans, a member of the Cherokee Nation, the first Iranian American elected to Congress as well. Daily Signal pointing out the seven big items on Biden's White House agenda. If he wins the White House, these items would be on his agenda. Number one, taxpayer-funded abortion. Number two, amnesty, no more wall funding. Three, a COVID-19 board. Four, a green economy. Yeah, the framework of the Green New Deal. Number five is Bidencare. That was his term in the debate. Number six, free college, 2 years of community college for free, and also the Equality Act for transgender. Remember, he called the transgender issue, the civil rights issue of our time. Lord willing, next Wednesday, Peter LaBarbera will be joining us, and we'll be talking further on issues pertaining to that particular topic. Okay, let's move on to the New York Post here. A member of the President-elect Joe Biden's, that's what they call him, President-elect Joe Biden, in this news story here that is still up for debate. His coronavirus task force said Wednesday that the U.S. could manage the pandemic by enforcing an extended economic lockdown with the government compensating workers for lost wages. Dr. Michael Osterholm floated the idea in an interview with Yahoo Finance, explaining that a 4 to 6 week shutdown of small to medium businesses could drive down infection numbers. Osterholm said that the federal government is in a prime position to use borrowed money to pay for such a lockdown package, reimbursing everybody for their wages, I guess. Western Journal also has Osterholm in August co-authored an op-ed in the New York Times with Neil Kashkari, in which they said that the problem with America's past lockdowns was that they were neither long enough nor strict enough. The lockdowns you experienced, they weren't strict enough. To successfully drive down our case rate to less than one per 100,000 people per day, we should mandate sheltering in place for everyone but the truly essential workers. By that, we mean people must stay at home and leave only for essential reasons. Here's what will enable you to leave your home. Food, food shopping, visits to the doctor and pharmacies while wearing masks, and washing hands frequently. By the way, Elon Musk, a Daily Wire has a story. He said, He says something is strange. Something strange is brewing with the current spate of COVID tests. According to the billionaire, he took a test four times in one day. He took four tests in one day and got two different results. Here's his statement. Something extremely bogus is going on. Was tested for COVID four times today. Two tests came back negative. Two came back positive. Same machine, same test, same nurse. Rapid antigen test from BD. Musk tweeted out just yesterday. Have you seen the Thanksgiving orders of the California governor, Newsom? Lori Higgins at the Illinois Family Institute says mostly tyrannical Thanksgiving orders of California Governor Newsom. Here are a few of his mostly tyrannical Thanksgiving mandatory requirements for all gatherings for Thanksgiving. All persons planning to host or participate in a private gathering must comply with the following requirements. Gatherings that include more than three households are prohibited. The host should collect names of all attendees and contact information in case contact tracing is needed later. By the way, in New York, they're limiting any in-home gatherings to 10 people. Let's continue with California, though. All gatherings must be held outside. Attendees may go inside to use restrooms as long as the restrooms are frequently sanitized. Gatherings may occur in outdoor spaces that are covered by umbrellas, canopies, awnings, roofs, and other shade structures, provided that at least three sides of the space, or 75%, are open to the outdoors. Aren't we getting specific here? A gathering of no more than three households is permitted in a public park or other outdoor space, even if unrelated gatherings of other people up to three households are also occurring in the same park or other outdoor space. Multiple gatherings of three households cannot be jointly organized or coordinated to occur in the same public park or other outdoor space at the same time. Seating must provide at least 6 feet of distance in all directions, front to back and side to side, between different households. Everyone at a gathering should frequently wash their hands with soap and water or use hand sanitizer if soap and water are not available. A place to wash hands or hand sanitizer must be available for participants to use. Shared items should not be used during a gathering. As much as possible, any food or beverages at outdoor gatherings must be single-serve disposable containers. If providing single-serve containers is not possible, food and beverages must be served by a person who washes or sanitizes their hands frequently and wears a face covering. Folks, we're talking, listen to this order coming out from the governor. Self-serve items from communal containers should not be used. People at gatherings may remove their face coverings briefly to eat or drink as long as they stay at least 6 feet apart from everyone else in their outside their own household, but put their face covering back on as soon as they are done with the activity. This is the same guy who said you take a bite of food, as you put it in your mouth, you put your mask back on, you chew that food, then you take your mask off for the next bite. Face coverings can also be removed to meet urgent medical needs. Well, boy, that's a relief. For example, to use an asthma inhaler, take medication, or if you're feeling lightheaded. I'm so glad that he's given an exemption to remove your mask so you can use an asthma inhaler. Gathering should be 2 hours or less. I don't know what if at 2 hours and 1 minute something else happens. Singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged, but if they occur, the following rules and recommendations apply. All people who are singing or chanting should wear a face covering at all times while singing or chanting, including anyone who is leading a song or chant. People who are singing, shouting, chanting, or exercising are strongly encouraged to maintain physical distancing beyond 6 feet to further reduce risk. People who are singing or chanting are strongly encouraged to do so quietly at or below the volume of a normal speaking voice. Instrumental music is allowed as long as musicians maintain at least 6 feet distancing. Musicians must be from one to three households. Playing of wind instruments, any instrument played by the mouth, such as a trumpet or clarinet, is strongly discouraged. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible." Andrew Jackson said, "That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests." Theodore Roosevelt said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces." These and over 2,000 other direct quotations revealing the godly heritage of America can now be found in America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations by William Federer. This volume of over 800 pages cites founding fathers, presidents, statesmen, state constitutions, and court decisions. This reference tool is available for a donation of $22 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and it's a news roundup day here today. A lot of news, and I have to apologize for all the kinds of stories we're not getting to because of all these that have risen to the surface here, but there is much taking place across our nation. And as we so often said, prayer for this nation does not end November 3rd of 2020. Friends, don't let up in your prayers for this nation. Be praying for truth and the integrity of the vote to be realized and any fraud or deception that it would be exposed. Well, you know, we talk about the double standards that are going on. What was it, Illinois? Was it the mayor or governor? You know, these extreme lockdowns, but then coming up to Wisconsin to have their vacation time. You got the husband of the governor of Michigan that demanded, you know, I'm the governor's husband here, wanting special boat access early in the procedure here. Well, now we have the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser. Came under fire for attending former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris's victory party in Wilmington, Delaware, this past weekend. This is a column by Beth Ballman at townhall.com. Her attendance was a clear violation of her list of states deemed high risk for the Wuhan coronavirus. In fact, Delaware is one of the states on Bowser's mandatory 14-day quarantine list. But when Bowser was asked about her attendance, she got defensive, saying her trip was, quote, necessary to advocate on behalf of those who live in Washington, D.C. Isn't that something? Have an exception. Have an exception there. It was necessary to advocate for the people. She went to a so-called victory party. Let's see. Newsmax.com. COVID-19 won't be a pandemic for a lot longer, thanks to a rapid progress in vaccine development, says Anthony Fauci. What did he say? It won't be a pandemic for a lot longer. The coronavirus could nonetheless remain endemic for a long time. That's where it's reaching a particular geographical area, but not a pandemic. Generally, a pandemic is defined as an infection that puts the global population at risk. The endemic disease is one that spreads in some areas and not in others. So he's saying it won't be a pandemic for a lot longer. From LifeNews.com, California Attorney General Xavier Becerra is working to put the two pro-life leaders in jail after they exposed Planned Parenthood, the Planned Parenthood aborted baby body parts trade. And now Joe Biden, if he's elected, is considering Becerra for the highest justice office in the land, the U.S. Attorney General. That's a report from the New York Times. Currently, Becerra is prosecuting David Lyden, the Center for Medical Progress journalist who exposed Planned Parenthood's baby body part sale. He's pursuing multiple felony charges against him and fellow investigator Sandra Merritt. Sandra is being represented by Liberty Counsel. Yeah, he's in the possibility section for the United States Attorney General. LifeNews.com reporting that Pete Buttigieg, who supports abortions without limits through the third trimester, running to be a top candidate for U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. And there's another name being floated for this position. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton being considered for a high-profile role in the Biden administration, according to a new report. The Washington Post said one intriguing name being discussed privately is former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton as the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, according to the person familiar with the chatter who spoke on the condition of anonymity, the Post reported. The thinking behind the move was that it would be a way for Biden to highlight the importance of that position in his administration, that placing her there would raise the prestige of the U.N. itself at a time when global cooperation, the U.S. role on the world stage has ebbed, the report said. Also, from LifeNews.com, Joe Biden, if he wins the presidency, considering a radical pro-abortion politician to run U.S. Health and Human Services, USA Today is reporting New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, a pro-abortion Democrat, is a top contender for HHS Secretary under a theoretical Biden administration. Like Biden, she claims to be a Catholic, but she supports legislation allowing unborn babies to be killed in abortions for basically any reason up to birth. Also, President-elect Biden announced, this is from the National Review, that his coronavirus task force would include Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, chair of the Department of Medical Ethics. In a 2014 essay in The Atlantic, Emanuel explained why he hoped to die at the age of 75. Here is a simple truth that many of us seem to resist. Living too long is also a loss. Listen to that. Living too long is also a loss. It renders many of us, if not disabled, then faltering and declining, a state that may not be worse than death, but is nonetheless deprived. It robs us of our creativity and ability to contribute to work, society, and world. It transforms how people experience us, relate to us, and most important, remember us. We are no longer remembered as vibrant and engaged, but as feeble, ineffectual, and even pathetic. Wow, making a case to die at the age of 75, what would be in store for this nation? As he's a so-called prominent bioethicist, he helped create Obamacare and opposes conscious protections for pro-life doctors and nurses. According to Politico, Biden's also considering him as HHS secretary. We understand, too, according to LifeNews.com, he's the architect of the death panels. Okay, LifeSiteNews.com, Centers for Disease Control, plans to track coronavirus vaccine recipients through a smartphone app and send them daily text messages the week after they're injected. The CDC will then contact them weekly for 6 weeks, the Wall Street Journal reported. In an effort to get COVID-19 vaccines to the public as quickly as possible, the U.S. government and drug companies are planning to replace some testing safeguards with tracking measures in which vaccine recipients report any serious side effects. Friends, you've got to hear what else is going on. This is from CNSNews.com. Representative Ilhan Omar wants the government to provide people in the United States with what she calls a universal basic income or guaranteed income. Now, back on April 26, she sent out a tweet that said it's time for universal basic income. Now, this past Tuesday, a week after she was reelected to the House, she held an online event called the Economic Justice Town Hall. Economic Justice Town Hall. And she had as her guest Mayor Melvin Carter of St. Paul, Minnesota, and Mayor Michael Tubbs of Stockton, California. She posted the video of the event on Twitter. I'm going to play for you just a portion as she's introducing the event and briefly explains what's afoot.
So tonight we are here to talk about economic justice and moving toward a guaranteed income. I will be joined by two special guests, St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter and Mayor Michael Tubbs of Stockton, California. Mayor Carter and Mayor Tubbs are both part of the Mayors for Guaranteed Income Coalition. What is a guaranteed income? Just like Social Security, it provides a regular check to every American so they can buy the things they need, like housing, food, and other essentials. In recent years, guaranteed income has gained traction as a policy antidote to poverty and rising wealth and income inequality. But the idea isn't new. Concept of a guaranteed income has deep roots in the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King and others. I've sponsored a bill to guarantee income when the pandemic hit. We've also co-sponsored the Automatic Boost to Communities, ABC Act, with Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and Pramila Jayapal. The legislation would immediately provide $2,000 payment using Boost debit cards to every person in America as a critical relief during COVID-19 crisis, followed by 1,000 reoccurring monthly payments for 1 year after the end of the crisis to help our community and families recover. In addition, I've sponsored a federal grant program to support localities pursuing basic income pilot, like the ones we will hear about tonight, in order to establish a national commission to study and centralize data collection and analysis of guaranteed income for institutionalized learning.
Do I hear socialism? Do I hear communism in all of this? On the group's website, it says Mirrors for a Guaranteed Income is a network of mirrors advocating for a guaranteed income to ensure that all Americans have an income floor. A guaranteed income is a monthly cash payment given directly to individuals. It is unconditional, with no strings attached, with no work requirements. A guaranteed income is meant to supplement rather than replace the existing social safety net and can be a tool for racial and gender equality. By the way, CNSNews.com reporting today, when asked if President Donald Trump should be afforded the same patience as was given to Democrat Al Gore when he challenged the presidential election in 2000, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi yesterday said this is a completely different situation. She said Republicans have decided that they will not respect the will of the people. Israel being attacked again. CNSNews.com also reporting that the world may be grappling with a once-in-a-century pandemic, but the World Health Organization member states dedicated 4 hours of its annual gathering in Geneva yesterday to discuss and condemn Israel. Now, they're there for coronavirus, but they're there to condemn Israel, accusing Israel of violating the health rights of Palestinians in the disputed territories and Syrians in the Golan Heights. Troubling story that came out here today from CBN or this week, earlier this week. ISIS militants reportedly have murdered 50 people in a gruesome attack on several villages in the African coastal nation of Mozambique. Victims were herded onto a soccer field in a northern village, then beheaded, according to eyewitness accounts reported by the state-owned Mozambique news agency. Satanic Temple trying to disqualify Justice Amy Coney Barrett so it can strike down a pro-life law. As a pro-life measure goes before the U.S. Supreme Court, they don't want Amy Coney Barrett to rule on it, and so they're trying to have her disqualified for any position on the bench dealing with that issue. Regardless of who would win the U.S. presidential battle, the next American administration will have no option but to surrender to the Iranian nation, so says President Hassan Rouhani. The U.S. government has no option but to give into the law, the pressure of public opinion, and the resistance from the great Iranian nation, he added. Justice Alito is a warning about COVID threats to religious liberty. He warned against threats to religious liberty and freedom of speech imposed because of the coronavirus that have resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on Americans. He said that he doesn't intend to downplay the severity of the virus threat to public health, but he said the pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on personal liberty. We have never before seen restrictions as severe, extensive, and prolonged as those experienced for most of 2020. And again, if you're planning Thanksgiving dinner in California, you better make sure you bow down to the to the California governor's directives there. I don't know if they gave a size that the turkey can be to or not. I'm just not sure. One other aspect here, and I know people are saying, hey, you can check voting records to see if your dead loved ones have voted or your deceased friends have voted in this election. Every state has their own way to do so. In our state of Wisconsin, people can go to myvote.wi.gov and put in the name and birth date of the individual to see what their voting history is, to see if there was a vote cast here, even in the November election. Again, in Wisconsin, that's myvote.wi.gov. Let's open some phone lines. We'll have time for some brief comments here. Our number, 800-733-9829. Get on board. We want you to keep them a minute or less here, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Last Wednesday, after the election, we interviewed retired 3-star general, General McInerney. Also, we interviewed author and researcher Mary Fanning. What we learned about was the hammer, the scorecard. We were the first national network of affiliate stations to broadcast this. What we learned is that in 2003, a piece of software was developed on the military side by Dennis Montgomery to keep America safe and to surveil our enemies. But reportedly in 2009, the Obama administration took this software and began to utilize it as a political tool for blackmail and to gain information on, well, lots of people, including elected officials and members of the U.S. Supreme Court. But it could also be used to turn an election. Full details with articles at worldviewtimes.com.
You know, some stories are so humorous you just can't have the creativity to make them up. Here is out of Portland, Oregon, a city commissioner who's been pushing to defund the police, got to stop money from the police. Guess what? Ended up calling 911. It was over a Lyft ride. Evidently, the driver went roll up the window. They got an argument. The driver was trying to put out the city commissioner, and so they called 911. Police, you need to come to my rescue here. And this is a commissioner trying to defund the police. Let's go to the phone lines today. Mesa, Arizona. And Gary, you're on the air.
Got in late yesterday, but I wanted to know how it is that deceased ballots are being cast. Who's doing this and how do they do it?
Great question. I mean, the voting records are available. There are those who will, there are states that have not purged their records of those who are deceased. Our state is one of them. They had been ordered, the Elections Commission. They said, we're not going to do it until after the November election. So,
that's convenient.
Yeah, these become public records. People can search individuals and voting histories. And
somebody's able to get their hands on those ballots somehow or another. There's so much chicanery going on, yeah. I can't even keep up with it. And you do the best job of anybody I've heard on the air. And I guess we just have to keep watching and keep talking and keep pointing fingers. I don't see how we can stop this, because if this isn't stopped, they'll win every election.
Thank you for your comments here today, Gary. Appreciate it. By the way, somebody contacted me and said, you know, if you go to your website and put in Antifa.com, you're not going to get Antifa. You get JoeBiden.com's website. I tried it out. It happened. Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air. Hello, Courtney. Are you with us, Courtney? Okay, let's go to Barbara in McMinnville, Tennessee.
Correct. Many protest gatherings are scheduled for tomorrow, November 14th, to show support for President Trump. The Lord Jesus Christ is graciously warning us that such gatherings would draw Black Lives Matters, socialists, angry Democrats, etc., who would create, in that situation, violence. And some would even portray themselves as Republican and act out. The media would then blame us for the violence and bad behavior. The Lord God is warning us to gather in church, not in protest, during this highly emotional time. We must not be self-willed in this, but we must get in His Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is ruling, but is He ruling our heart? We can best support President Trump by praying and then contacting elected officials, trusting God to use our rule of law. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Okay. Thank you, Barbara, for your call. We've got Leroy in Atlanta. You're on the air.
How you doing, Jim? Let me give you a local report. The day after the election, State Farm Arena, it was a polling center where you could vote, and they also changed it into a counting center. They immediately reported that there was a pipe burst. I had my suspicions from the outset. And according to Gateway Pundit and people who have filed freedom of information requests, there's no insurance, there are no invoices, there's nothing pertaining to any pipe burst incident at State Farm. They can say that there's fraud in every election. That means every election should be investigated, no matter how the amount. Because, yes, the numbers may not be enough to change the result, but before you get to that point, you have to deal with the fact that there's fraud, period.
Thank you, Leroy, for that. You're right there in the epicenter of it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mike in Bayview. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Say, listen, my wife checked that registry for the deceased people, and she said it couldn't be updated for 45 days. So I don't know if that's true or not, but just thought I'd toss that out there.
Yeah, you can go to the myvote.wi.gov in Wisconsin and put in the name and the birth date of the individual, and you can track and see whether a vote was cast.
Oh, because she tried to do that last week for a couple people we know.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Robert in Port Charlotte, Florida, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have two brief comments I want to make. Thank you for the work and the ministry you do. One is that, I remember listening to WVCY Network in the 90s about the documented extensive fraud that was provable all the way to the Supreme Court regarding Bob Dole being announced the Iowa caucus winner when Pat Buchanan actually was the announced winner, was actually the true winner, even though Bob Dole was announced the winner. That's one point I want to make. So this fraud's been going on for a long time. What are we going to do about it? Second point I want to make is if you go to the NIH website, you can see in 2008, Dr. Fauci's name's on it, that they dug up the bodies in 1918, and most of the people died from bacterial infection pneumonia. And the same article says it's because of antibiotics that we haven't had an outbreak all over the world since then.
Hmm. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Merle in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. We are being conditioned to obey orders without questioning. We are being conditioned to accept lies as truth. And this virus was released not only to get rid of Trump, but to crash the economic world system to set up the reset. And one final thing, keep your eyes on Obama, who will eventually be nominated to the head of the UN. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts, Merle. And Marcy in Duluth, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I have an experience firsthand. I voted absentee for both my husband and myself, turned the ballots in at our county because we live in the township area, and when I'm an election judge at 2 o'clock in the afternoon of November 3rd, I find out that my ballot was not recorded as voted as absentee. So then we call the county courthouse, the county where the election center is for the county, and verified that ballot this morning. This is November 3rd. Those two ballots were handed in at the same time on either the 28th or 29th of October. So I have the question, and I'm investigating it. I have the question, how many more people voted absentee ballot at the St. Louis County courthouse, and theirs did not get recorded in the rosters?
Interesting question, Marcy. We trust that you'll have success in getting some of those things determined. I have to apologize to other callers. We're out of time here for the broadcast today, and thank you for tuning in. I know many of you have comments on so many of these critical issues here today, but again, be praying for our nation. Be praying for wisdom for those that are in leadership, and certainly be praying for truth and integrity through this election process. Be praying that fraud would be exposed. And by the way, the Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.